Well, we heard just a moment ago about an American who's returning to life after being detained by Egyptian authorities for 36 hours. But there are millions of people in Cairo who are out on the streets protesting and are now returning to some form of normal life. And the impact the demonstrations have had on the economy is massive. The Egyptian government has again postponed plans to reopen the country's stock exchange today. Other areas of life also remain suspended. In Cairo, for our partner, the BBC, Kevin Connolly.
In the Cairo Cotton Center, an order of tangerine polo shirts for an American department store is almost ready. Things are getting back to normal, although, of course, no one's quite sure what's going to be normal in the new Egypt. This is the business end of globalization. It's one of the most important factories in a multi-billion dollar export industry. Some of the stuff you buy from Calvin Klein, Marks & Spencer and Gap is made here. The boss, Magdi Tolba, sympathises with the Tahrir Square protesters, up to a point, but he's worried they're bringing more instability than freedom.
It cost billions of money, it will cost image, it will cost respect, you know, because even my factory, I have 4,000 workers. If we consider that every one worker is feeding three or four at home, if this crisis is going to continue, and if I'm going to close down, more than 12,000 to 16,000 in the streets have no money. So this destruction, you know, I think it's too big and too much than those young guys were estimating. And it's economy, it's industry, it's a future of a country, you know. Somebody has to be realistic.
It's uncertainty and instability that worry businessmen like Magdi Tolba too. He dares to ask the question, do the thousands of demonstrators on Tahrir Square have the right to dictate what happens to the lives of millions of ordinary Egyptians?
Not a single one in this country is not looking for more freedom, is not looking for more reforming, is not looking for better standard of living. Food prices, you know, going up. Everybody has the right to demonstrate, but nobody has the right to destroy. Why 85 million Egyptians has to pay for the guys in the Tahrir Square?
The Egyptian government this week will be doing what it can to create the impression it's presiding over a return to normality. But in truth, no one knows for sure where this country is going. They just know it's not going back to the old realities.
The BBC's Kevin Connolly reporting from Cairo.
We take you now to the new reality of President Barack Obama post-election 2010. He was at the U.S. Business Leader meeting of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington yesterday.
Not every regulation is bad. Not every regulation is burdensome on business. A lot of the regulations that are out there are things that all of us welcome in our lives.
Regulations are our friend, according to Barack Obama. Some, anyway. Todd Zwillick joins us, takeaway D.C. correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
So it's a little bit of a battle yesterday, looking at that meeting and the faces there watching the president. Who's a better friend of business, the GOP or Barack Obama, or say the new Barack Obama? How did it go yesterday?
Well, Barack Obama is behind in that race. Who's a better friend to business? Because business... The zeitgeist among business is that Barack Obama doesn't get it, and he vilified them during his first 2 years of his first term with the Wall Street collapse and everything else. So he's trying to mend fences, but he's trying to do more than that with this speech yesterday, John, because of what the Republicans are planning this week, a major onslaught on regulations across the Obama agenda. And I think the president was trying to get in the first word. What you're going to see this week on Capitol Hill is Republicans continue sort of their rollout of the new Republican majority in the House. A major attack on some of the major pillars of the Obama regulatory agenda. Healthcare, of course, Wall
right.
Street regulations that arose after the financial crisis, and the big one, regulation of greenhouse gases, carbon emissions, climate change, trying to strip the EPA of their ability to regulate greenhouse gases. That's all coming this week.
And Congressman Issa kind of did his own little WikiLeaks thing, releasing a whole bunch of government documents, which purported to show exactly the regulations that businesses don't like. How does this play? Is it a zeitgeist thing, or is it really going to be each individual regulation confronting each individual business lobby? And some are good, as the president says, and some are bad.
Well, Republicans would like it to be a zeitgeisting because Republicans, you just said it at the top, traditionally are the friend of business. They want to stay that way. It's almost as old as American politics. Business doesn't like interference from the government. That's not going to change. What Darrell Issa, who's the chairman of the Oversight Committee, did, John, just to bring people up to speed,
right,
was he basically made an appeal to American business, sent out something on the order of 200 letters saying, hey, guys, you tell us what you hate and we'll do our best to undo them. Now, Congress isn't going to be able to pull the shoelaces on every single regulation that they don't like. They would have to force the administration to do it. But what they are trying to do is put Barack Obama in a box. Remember, we have to look at this in the lens of 2012, I'm sorry to say. Barack Obama is seeking the center with this speech in front of the chamber. He's seeking the center. Darrell Issa and Fred Upton and other Republicans don't want him to have it. They think Americans don't like overburdensome regulations. They don't want the government regulating things like carbon emission if it's going to cost jobs and send jobs to China and India. So they're trying to beat him to that spot.
So if the president concedes on some of these regulatory issues, what's the chance that he can sort of jawbone businesses to actually begin hiring more and then take credit for that by the 2012 election?
You know, maybe, John, but there's no evidence right now that there is a quid pro quo available there, like you're suggesting. The president raised that yesterday. He said, look, we can talk about some regulations. We don't want them to be overburdensome. Already, the Senate voted to repeal a little part of the health care bill, a tax reporting thing that businesses didn't like. But there's no evidence that he's going to get in exchange for that what he asked for, which is, hey, business, you're sitting on billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in cash that you're not using to hire. Jump into the economy, be patriotic, and use it. There's no evidence he's going to get that deal.
Wouldn't you love to be sitting on billions of dollars? Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, John.
The Takeaway is supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Information at gatesfoundation.org.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.